And now the scripture reading for this morning comes from the 8th chapter of Acts. You'll find it in your red pew Bibles on page 1149, so 1149. Of course, I keep encouraging you, bring your own Bible too when you come to worship. So Acts chapter 8, about halfway or towards the end of the chapter, I think it is. Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 26 and going to verse 39, which is the end of the chapter. So read with along with me. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Here's the teleportation verse. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. And now it is my privilege to be able to introduce, yes, our conference superintendent. I like to refer to him as Bishop Danny. Danny has been a friend of mine. We figured for at least, well, it's been over 20 years, and a good friend at that. And when I found out about a year and a half ago that Danny was being nominated to replace Jerome Nelson as our conference bishop, I was overjoyed, not just because he is a dear friend, but because of his, in Spanish we say capacidad, his capacities. In other words, this guy brings the stuff. He's got the stuff. He was successful in business, successful in ministry, in many areas of ministry, youth ministry, worship leader, rock musician, Christian rock musician. Yeah, I don't mean to start a scandal here, but church planter, pastor. He was also president of MIPE, which is the Association of Covenant Churches here in North America. Just North America, right? The MIPE. And anyway, but mostly I love, he is a man of the word. He is a man of God. He loves God. And I love his sense of humor. And so he might share a little bit of that humor in his sermon. If he does, of course, I mean, I know you guys are completely unfamiliar with a preacher that would ever have any show, display any sense of humor. So, of course, I always put a kibosh on that. But I will allow a giggle or two, all right? But belly laughs, you might, I might, any, you know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. Anyway, but Danny, why don't you come up and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your word being spoken to us and preached by Danny. I pray, Lord God, that as we were praying earlier, just he would become invisible, and that really it would be you, that we would see and that we would hear, Lord, speaking. And so may your word take over, and may your Holy Spirit just channel in and through him, but then in and to our hearts, Lord God. So minister to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Oh, this is going to be a long sermon. God is good. And all the time. I see that the Holy Spirit is heavy on this section right here. Not everybody wants to sit there. I'm glad that I got a chance to sit there. My name is Danny Martinez, and it's a privilege for me to be here with you this morning in East Moline, Elim. I didn't even know how to pronounce that in English. In Spanish, we say Elim. So in English, it's Elim. How interesting. Let me start by letting you know what the Central Conference is. Some of you may not know what even that is. So the Central Conference is, go on to the next one. It's a bunch of churches, 111 of them, from five different states. And you are one of them. You're an important part of that, in fact. So we have churches in Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and Missouri, or Missouri, depending if you're a purist. Nobody laughed. This is going to be a very long sermon. One of the things that I love about being Latino and being born in Central America is, you know, that we can't help but react to things. You know, some of you, my Anglo brothers and sisters, like to think about what you're going to say, how you're going to react. Yeah, don't do that today, okay? So go on to the next one. This is the mission, and I'm going to go because I only have a few minutes. We also have the Lord's Supper that we want to invite people to. But we have the mission of planting new churches. We have the vision of strengthening churches, and the last one is to connect churches. One of the things that has happened in the Central Conference and in 111 churches that are here is that we don't know a lot of the good news that are going on. So I don't know if you knew, but our conference has a very, very organized and well thought out ministry where we're actually teaching inmates in prison how to do ministry and how to even graduate with a bachelor's degree in theology so they can do ministry. Did anybody know that? Okay. We also have another pastor who now will be our executive minister of developed leaders, the person that will be in charge of enforcing our rules, Lance Davis, who has, you know, by the grace of God, gone into a place called Dalton, Illinois, and really renew the economy by doing community work and renovating homes and allowing the church to be a catalyst of transformation. Have you heard about that? Now, so these are really great things that are happening that you should know about. There's good things going on in the Central Conference. So I want you to be aware of that as we continue. The last one is, this is our vision. Our vision is connecting churches, having a connection, making sure that we are connected, that we know each other, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here. First, because I love your pastor. He's been a good friend and a mentor to me in the Covenant Church. He walked with me as I was starting in the Covenant Church. Even though I've been in the Covenant Church for 30 years, it was mainly in Chicago in the Latina Church. And he and Elizabeth were both very gracious, and thank you for your hospitality this weekend. I was able to stay in their home. The second one is participation. You see, there's a lot of things that we want to offer as a conference, but if you don't take advantage of them, they don't really mean anything. So you need to be willing to learn and willing to teach. And I know that we can get those two things from this church. Someone needs to be saying amen, but one of these days, I'm sure that God is going to move some of you today, okay? I usually bring, you know, when I have time, I bring some music and I make people dance. So I'll do that next time. Some of you are saying, oh, God, please let me know when he's coming because I don't know that I want to be here, Chad. Okay. And the last one is contribution. You know, people that believe in a vision will contribute to something. If someone is not contributing and they can, it's because they have not bought on the vision yet. They do not understand the giving, the giving blessing, and they do not understand that God loves cheerful givers. You know, and so that's part of what we want to do. And so go on to the next one. 20 new churches in the next 4 years is what our plan is. And we don't have any money. But my father, though, I have a very rich father. He is the owner of 1,000 cattle in 1,000, I don't know if 1,000 cattle, but a lot of cattle in 1,000 hills. Do you know who I'm talking about? It's not my earthly father for sure, but it's Jesus, and it's our Father. So someone should be saying amen. He's your Father too. Ay, Señor Jesús. Okay, go on to the next one. So Elam Covenant Church, then you can bypass the passage. Pastor, thank you for reading that. And go out to the one that says Philip the Evangelist. I love Philip. Philip is a wonderful man. Go on the next one. Go on the next one. Yeah, bypass those, please, for me. And yeah, there we go. Philip the Evangelist. Philip is a cool man. I think he was part Latino, not Greek. You know, and so I got to laugh. Thank you. You guys should be up front. He was an amazing guy. He was the evangelist per excellence. I mean, you can't get a better evangelist than him. He was thrown out of Jerusalem because he was an evangelist. He was Greek. I don't know if you knew that. At the beginning of chapter 8, there's this big persecution after they killed Stephen, another Greek. There was a Greek Jew living in Jerusalem. For some reason, the disciples were not thrown out. I always found that weird. But this was kind of like a racial cleansing from Jerusalem. They did not want foreigners in Jerusalem. And they used this as an excuse to throw out the Greeks. But you know what? I have a God that is not surprised by what people do. I have a God that is in control of things. And what he did was he allowed Philip to go into, you know, like chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts says that you will be my witnesses, right? Say that with me, witness. So we're the original Jehovah Witnesses. We are, really. So you're, oh my God, really? Is that who we are? Yeah, we're the Evangelical Covenant Church of Jehovah's Witnesses. Because we are supposed to be witnessing to people about who Christ is. And you're going to start where? In Jerusalem, right? And then you're going to go where? To the greater part, which is Judea, the same province. And then you got to go where? Oh, no, we don't want to go to Samaria. I don't want to go there. It's a nasty place. They don't like me in Samaria. And I don't like them. Why would God send me there? Interesting. But let me continue with Philip. Go on to the next one. Philip was enjoying this revival in Samaria. And as a Latino, I don't know. I know that most of you thought that I was German. But I'm actually Latino. You know, with the name Mike Martinez. Or Martinez-Heimer. Philip is enjoying this revival in Samaria, and I love the party. I love the party for Jesus especially. I've been performing. I've been doing concerts for many, many years. I love it when people get together and they get, you know, I love to see emotion in people. And sometimes, I don't know why, we feel that the sacred does not, you know, need that reaction from us. I've seen you some watching television and watching, you know, football. Your reaction comes out. You're not as stoic like you're in church. You know, some of you become crazy. But that's a different story. So Philip loves the party. And God is doing amazing things at the party. There's people being healed at the party. At this great revival. People are coming to Christ. People in Samaria who they hate with a profound hate are coming to faith. And isn't it wonderful that we can care for people that we don't love or care about, but that God died for them anyway? And that you would be a source of blessing to this group. However, in the middle of all of this great party, the Holy Spirit, you know, does this to Philip and goes, I need you somewhere else. And it would have been difficult for me to leave the party. Because I love people. I'm an extrovert. I love meeting people. I love being with people. And they give me energy, right? And I go, well, where am I going? Am I going to a bigger revival, Lord? Speak to more people? And he goes, no, you're going to go to the desert. The desert? Why? And on top of that, you're going to go to a nice, not very nice place called Gaza, on the way to Gaza, and you're going to go to the middle of nowhere, and all you're going to do is just listen. Oh, you would have killed me right there. When I've been to Europe several times, and I always like to learn certain phrases in other languages, because I'm an extrovert. If I can't speak, you know, that's my death. Right? So in Italy, you got to learn something about mozzarella, you know, something, right? You got to do, you got to say something. You got to go to Wiener Schnitzel in, you know, in Germany. You got to do something, right? It says, don't preach, just listen. And that would be hard for some of us. And it'd be great for some of other you, right? Some of you, they're like, yeah, please don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't call on me. You know, I'm an introvert and I'm in my own self. But, you know, when God says you do something, sometimes as Americans, because we're very privileged people, I don't know if you knew that, you can say amen, or you can say ay, or you can say ouch, whatever goes in your language. In Spanish, you go ay, like that, but you got to go ahead and put your hand like this in your back. Ay, like that, yeah. That's the Latino way of saying it hurts. Ay, yeah. So, you know, we're very privileged people. The chairs you're sitting in are beautiful chairs. This is a beautiful building. Oh, my goodness. Who would not want to have a church like this? I don't know why we have empty chairs. This is a gorgeous place. I have been in places. I was in Colombia one time at this service, and it started raining, and water started going through our feet. And the American in me comes out, right, because I was raised in the States. I'm like, oh, God, should we move? They're like, no, just stay there. We're worshiping. Alabaré. And there's water, there's rainwater going down our feet. ¿Está loca esa gente like that? I was in Africa. I was in a place called Tanzania in Moshi, in Mount Kilimanjaro. Part of my doctoral program was to preach at Mount Kilimanjaro. And the seats had no back. So I was squatting the whole time. It was great for my, you know, for exercise. But I was so sore the next day. I was hot and bothered. I was just, it was terrible. The service was 6.5 hours. I wonder how many of you would come to service if it was 6.5 hours. Some of you are saying, oh my God, it sounds like this guy's going to take a long time already. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is? If you've never been to an African-American church? How many of you have been to an African-American church? I lost 10 pounds last time I was there. I think I'm going to go back more often. Hey, that was a hard laugh. They do something called, I forgot what it's called, but they go, to make a point, and the congregation responds. Let's see who's going to respond today. Looking forward to you responding today. Don't preach. Go on to the next one. So who is he going to meet? Who is such an important guy that would demand the best evangelist that we have? Well, the Ethiopian, the eunuch, right? He was an important official. He was the treasurer for Kandaki, the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, we say it in English. And on the way home from Jerusalem, he is not rejoicing. You read that in the last verse, right? That he was rejoicing, but he's not rejoicing now. So this is what happens when we have privilege. We measure everybody else's experience through our own. Because I had a car when I was 19 years old. I assumed that every 19-year-old should have a car or can have a car, right? So he was going home from Jerusalem because he went to do what? Do you remember? No, that was Philip. The Ethiopian went to Jerusalem to do what? Worship. He went to worship. So because you come here to church and your worship experience is a good one, you think that everybody's experience is the same. That everybody rejoices. That everybody has fun. That everybody has friends at church. And that's why we don't even bother with new people, because we think that they're having the same fun as we are. Because this is our church. Because we love God and we love our congregation. But new people are entirely out of that, right? So what happens when... He went to the temple, but did you know that he was not allowed into the temple? Till this day, women are not allowed in the temple. You cannot go into the temple to worship. So if you had come here today and the ushers had said, say, well, you're not a Jew. You need to sit in the back or in the other side. So where did he would sit? He would sit in the court of the Gentiles. And I don't know if you remember a little story about Jesus coming in and just having a fit with the money changers, and because they're selling animals there. So this, which was the only place for Gentiles, for people to come and worship, became a marketplace that smelled bad. And on top of that, they were doing an illicit business there. So imagine you're being put there. So the Ethiopian was not allowed into the temple. He did not have a good worship experience. And he was he was not the right color, he was black, he was not the right religion, he was not a Jew, and another tiny little thing, I don't know if you noticed, but it says he's a eunuch. For those of who don't know what that is, it means that as a child, he was mutilated. His genitals were mutilated in order that he may work at the king's place. So I don't think that he volunteered to do that. He was chosen to do that, and that was a great privilege, but it came at a high cost. So he was on his way home. So I wonder, my brothers and sisters, if we ever really think about the way that other people experience worship. Sometimes we become owners of our worship style. Well, true worship must have an organ. Or true worship needs to sound like Jesus' culture. And we go with taste rather than what our community really needs at the time. So, go on to the next one. God has a divine appointment. He tells Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I would have had a problem with that. I know that I look like a long-distance runner. I can promise you, I run to the bathroom every day, every morning. He says, go to that chariot and stay near it. So I would have been like, aye, you know, behind the chariot, right? He goes, hey, slow down, Bato, you know. And he goes, and then just he heard him. I don't know how he could hear him over his deep, you know, very heavy breathing. He heard him. And by the way, the reason I'm bringing this thing out is because every time I read the Bible, I tend to read the Bible very superficially. I never think of these things. When I hear that he went to the temple to worship, I just automatically dismiss it as that was a great experience. I don't know if that happens to you. Am I the only sinner here this morning? Am I? Yeah. So go to the chair and stay near it. He heard him reading Isaiah. And then he, instead of saying, I have come here to save you, the Lord has sent me here. Ta-da, here I come to save the Ethiopian. Some of you don't even know this. What is that, Chad? He heard him reading Isaiah, and instead of declaring himself the Savior, as we often do when we go on a mission trip, oh my God, we got to go save people. People are going to come to Christ. Like Christ hasn't been working in that part of the world, and he needed you to do that. Oftentimes, if you do this right, you're the one that gets trapped in experiences. And so much, hallelujah. I remember being in an African-American church, and we had two ladies in the front. It was preaching the word of God, and one of the preacher. How rude. Oh, my God. So, in case of flies. Do you understand what you're, instead of doing all of that, he says, do you understand what you're reading? You know what that's called? A discipleship question. It's an investment question. It is not a question where you declare yourself anything, but where you ask for feedback. And you allow people to tell their story. You see, a lot of people fear evangelism because you think that you need to know all 14 laws of the book of Hebrews. I don't even know if it's 14. But why would you need to do that? When you engage people, you want them to tell you their story. The reason that you don't have sympathy sometimes for certain things that happen, bad things that happen to people, is because they don't affect you. Oh, if you can't say amen, say ouch, because, oh my gosh. You know, if you see people being deported and you rejoice in that, it's because you don't have family or you don't have friends or you don't have people that directly affects them and their families are being torn apart. When you see a kid being shot down in the street, a black kid, and instead of saying, well, you know, they should know better or they should do all of this, instead of defending it, you mourn with them. That is the appropriate response. If you don't know someone like that, it's hard for you to really mourn with people if you don't know their story. And I'm not talking about politics because God's people, our politics are in heaven. I don't know about you. My citizenship is in heaven. It might be revoked here in the United States very soon. But mine is in heaven from where we also await Jesus Christ, says Romans. Can I hear an amen, please? You got so serious. So politics to us, if you ever think that there's a politician that's going to save you, You have your faith placed in the wrong place. Our politics, our faith comes, our hope comes from Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you understand what you're reading? And he answers very wonderfully. He says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? How can you? So go on to the next one. What was he reading? He was reading the book of Isaiah. He read, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. What is in this particular piece that really caught his attention? When we look at pain and we look at suffering, we know pain. I know that you have experienced pain in your life. I know that. We all have. Some people are still carrying their pain for many, many years. They haven't given it to God. They haven't healed. They haven't seeked counseling. They haven't seeked mentorship. And you're still carrying the scars of hurt. And I want you to know, Jesus can heal those hurts. He can. And he has. I have experienced healing through horrible times. Times that if I told you, I would make you cry. But God continues to be faithful. And this is why we have to say amen in church, because he is. He is totally faithful. You're here. You're alive. Hopefully you had something to eat. But what is this piece of scripture so important to the eunuch? He asks Philip, is he talking about himself or someone else? Now, because we've been at church for 2,000 years, we already know that this has become Jesus Christ. But this was not written about Jesus Christ originally. The suffering servant is Israel. When Jesus Christ became a man, when he became incarnate, he also incarnated this scripture. He became the suffering servant. I would like you to argue today. I would like you to suggest that the Ethiopian became that scripture today as well. That day. Because he saw himself there. He saw himself in humiliation. He saw himself that it, like a shearer is silent. He did not open his mouth. He did not have a choice in what happened to him. What happened to him was horrible. He was deprived of justice. And who can speak of his descendants? He will never have descendants. He would never have children. And there are people that have been limited in their lives through their trauma and through pain and through sorrow. And that's why we need to listen to one another in our story. But it's not just listening about people's stories. It's also about telling your story. Go on to the next one. It's about traveling with people. When you travel with people, I'm hoping that not just one person will dominate the conversation. That makes a long, boring trip. I'm hoping that you will have a say-so in the matter, right? But as they traveled together, they came to some water. First of all, Philip, he says that Philip started with that piece of scripture and told them what? The good news of Jesus Christ. God's people, the good news will always be about Jesus Christ. Oh, you didn't hear that. The good news of Jesus Christ is always about Jesus Christ. It's always about him. It's always about him. We preach the birth of Christ, we preach the life of Christ, we preach the death of Christ, we have preached his resurrection, amen? But we also preach that he's coming back one day. Let us live according to that. Sorry, I get excited, but I'm Latino. They came to some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? What would you have said to him? Have you had membership classes yet? Have you given your tithe? How long have you been coming to Elam, coming to church? That's how you say it, right? Elam? Okay. That is so weird. By the way, I like to point out that this was not summertime. So the water was cold. I was at the UP a few weeks ago, and I was invited to do a polar dive. Lo que esa gente con el polar dive. I'm Latino. I don't polar dive. They're like, don't be chicken. I go, yeah, I'm a big chicken. I'm not doing that. Yeah, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord go with you, because I'm not. polar dive. I know I have some extra fluffiness, but come on. Yeah, you laughed a little hard on that joke. So Philip went in. So I don't know if you're getting this, church. First of all, Philip got on the chariot with him. Did you get that part? What would you have been thinking about the whole time? How am I going to get back home? I'm telling you, I'm an American too. I don't look like American. And when I go to the Latino countries, I'm not Latino enough. And here, I'm not American enough. I don't look the parts. Sometimes I have to be a bridge person because I don't fit anywhere. So that's why I'm a multicultural guy. I would be thinking, I wonder if the camel at 7 o'clock can drop me off. Do they have Jerusalem Uber? I don't know. But I would have started thinking, how am I going to get home? Some of you aren't like that. God is tapping you on the shoulder and said, do this. And you're like, okay, Lord, I want a 17-page, detailed, bulleted list of what you expect from me. And I'll see if I can commit to that. When God is calling you out to tell your story. When God is calling you out to do something that you step out of your comfort zone, God's people were very comfortable. And God is calling us out of that. But he went into the water with him. So he got on the chariot, and now he went down in the water with him. Why didn't he just say, okay, yeah, go down on the water yourself, and then just hold your nose, do self-baptism. It's like drive-through baptism. And then just hold your hand and just go back, and then you're baptized. I'll say from here, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Huh? Sometimes we do discipleship like that. We want people to come to church. We want our church to grow, but we don't bring anybody. Hey, you got to do the hand, otherwise it doesn't work. We're not inviting people. We are so caught up with our own lives that we don't even look at people, the people that God sets up in divine appointments for us. When you go to the store, when you're in the hospital visiting that friend, God sets up people around you that would love to hear your story. My brothers and sisters, you are experts in your story. You have a PhD in your own experience. Even if you don't know all the laws of Romans, what you can say is, let me tell you why I love God. God has been good to me because, and tell them exactly why God has been good to you. But one of the things that I noticed is he went on his way home rejoicing. What a difference that makes. Go on to the next one. So listen to the story. There is power in their story. You can't relate to people unless you have relationships with people that are unlike you. Imagine having friends from the different side of politics. Imagine having people that are different race or different culture. When Latinos come to this country, we struggle with hugs because we are a hugging culture. And some of me, my brothers, are hugging impaired. You know exactly what I mean. I hug someone and they become dead. Hi. What happened? She was alive before, I don't know. So I don't automatically hug people anymore. But we, you know, I went to Argentina. I was there I was teaching at the National Convention of Argentinian Covenant Churches. And after the service, there was, I don't know, a few hundred people there. After the service, you know, I always like to go to the front and I greet people. And people lined up. They all doubled kissed me, including the men. I have never kissed so many men in my whole life. That was so weird. Because as I said, I'm American. I hug, but I come on, bato, that's it, you know? And that's what happened. So I can understand about some of our experience. But there is power in your story as well. When you tell people what God has done to you, that's the most powerful thing in evangelism you can do. And this is what I'd like to finish with. There is power in our story. Because when you and I are friends and you know each other, then it becomes about us. We love God and then we love our neighbor. I don't like that part, by the way. That part is hard. Can anyone say amen or ouch or I or something? I know it's hard. There are some people that cause us stomach pain just by looking at them. Oh, no, here he is again. I think there's a lot of great things about the Latina church, but one of the things about that is not so godly is that when two people show up with the same outfit, oh, that's not, oh, that is not pretty. Oh. Pastoral counseling intervention sometimes exorcism, you know, things like that. Oh. There is power in our story. There is power in our story. You know, what a wonderful thing. I love the covenant because I started as a young man in the covenant 30 years later. This is my 30th year in the covenant. I get to come back. Thank you. My time is done. I get to come back as the bishop of the Central Conference. I'm hoping you don't say, well, the Latino guy that showed up today, but the Central Conference superintendent. Could it be that a Latino could lead 111 churches to bigger and better things? God uses everybody. Amen? Let me do the final one really quick. What does this have to do with me? Well, first, don't focus on the revival, but on the people and the need. You can just go on the full one. Be available to people. It means that you're going to have to give up your time. It's an investment. Let the Spirit lead you. What a concept that is, huh? Let the Spirit lead you. Wow, I know. This is groundbreaking. Please take notes. Travel along the road with people, not just for a quick decision. This is an investment. You want people to grow, to come to church? You don't just have to invite them. You have to sit with them. Sometimes you have to pick them up. And sometimes you have to follow through with them. Ask inviting and connecting questions. Well, learning from one another. And the last one is be flexible to the need. And this, in this case, was the baptism. So I'm going to start to pray for Elam Covenant Church that the Lord will give you so much fruit during this season that you'll have to do two services on Sunday. And the staff just freaked out. Steve just goes, hey, bato, hey, don't be giving people ideas. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you had two full services of people, because there's just a hunger for God in East Moline, Illinois. And if that's not your purpose, I want to pray for that as well. So let me invite you to stand and let's pray together quickly.